Welcome to a special edition of the Lab of Global Leaders podcast. Here is our special guest host, Dr. Anees Abdul-Hamid.
We are pleased to have with us today Dr. Thane Moli. Thank you for joining us today. I affectionately call Dr. Thane Moli Akka, which is elder sister in Tamil, as because she was one of my seniors in college, and she has also been like a big sister to many of us. So a lot of us affectionately call her Akka. So I'll be calling you Akka throughout today too. Is that okay, Akka?
Sure, thank you very much. Okay. And thank you for having me today, Anees.
It's a pleasure. Thank you. Thank you for spending your evening with me and with us. Akka, in your own words, could you tell us a bit about yourself, who you are and what you do?
Okay, I am Thane Moli Dharmalingam, and I'm currently attached with the National Blood Center working as a transfusion medicine specialist. And I'm leading the donor procurement area, including the blood collection and blood inventory. And I'm married, happily married with three boys, wonderful boys. And that's about it, I guess.
Okay. Could you tell us, describe your journey to becoming a transfusion medicine specialist from the beginning till now?
Wow. Okay. I never ever had dreamt that I will end up being a transfusion medicine specialist. To begin with, 13 or 12 years ago, I never even knew there was a transfusion medicine specialist existing. All right. Right after housemanship, I was a junior MO, and then I was attached in one of the clinic kesihatans. And I think 3 weeks I was attached in clinic kesihatan Sri Kembangan, and I received a transfer letter to National Blood Center. And I didn't know why I was transferred, and I didn't know what I was going to do or where was my direction heading. But when I arrived and reported duty, to my awe, I was wondering, oh, because all the time when people request for blood, all we see is blood bags are being released and we collect and we start using them. We do not know what is the story behind. So there's a long, long story behind it. Now, when I was a medical officer in Blood Bank, I was very, very blessed and very, very lucky to have been working under and being trained under Dato' Dr. Farah Iza. She retired last year, and she is basically not just my mentor, she's like an elder sister and more like family. So she taught me all about transfusion, what are the importance and what all we could see in the field, not just transfusion as in blood alone. So that's where the interest started off, as when she put me into my portfolio of taking care of hemophilia patients. We were managing hemophilia patients basically on clinical basis. We were giving them their factor coverages. We were doing psychological counseling for them and all sorts of things. So this is one of the branch under transfusion medicine. And when I understood that better, it basically triggered more interest into understanding how can I get more information, you know, in depth about transfusion field per se. So what happened was I said, okay, when there was an opening, because transfusion initially was under pathology, and they actually divided and split it separately as an individual unit by itself in 2000. So the chronology of it has explained what all is associated to transfusion per se. And once we got to know what is involved in it, then you will be seeing more and more of transfusion in a different perspective altogether, right? So that's how it triggered my interest. And I thought, okay, I will do transfusion and let's see how much can I embark into it and probably spread more interest and lure more people to understand on transfusion. I hope I have answered your question, Anees.
Yes, you have. And for the benefit of the listeners, you mentioned Klinik Kesihatan. So that is our district health clinics that we have scattered around our country. Their function is to be closer to the community and reach out to the community health care. So, Akka, for the benefit of our listeners, so could you elaborate on what is actually transfusion medicine?
Okay, when we look at transfusion medicine, most of them, as I said earlier, everybody knows that, you know, you look at one whole blood bag and then we give it to patients who are anemic or in any reason they require blood. But the field per se, it encounters or it encapsulates many, many divisions. To begin with will be the blood management, blood donor management and blood procurement per se. So what is that all about? Because you need blood donors. Who will manage blood donors? Well, I am leading that in National Blood Center right now. So we need to coordinate with our blood donors. We have organizers to make sure that we have mobile campaigns going around. And then we have static sites where we do also blood collection. And these things does not stop there. We need to also anticipate and forecast what is the blood usage, what is the requirement. How do we go about calculating how many pints of blood is required throughout Malaysia? I bet most of them will not be able to, you know, get those kind of details. In fact, when I did not, when I was not in blood banking itself, I didn't know what was a daily requirement of blood usage. You'll be surprised. In Malaysia, on a daily basis, we require minimum 2,000 pints of blood for 1,000 patients. For 1,000 patients, where we actually anticipated or we forecast that each patient will require minimum two pints, all right? Mm. But if you have cases like placenta previa hemorrhage, okay, so PPH or massive MVAs and things like that where you have massive blood loss, the amount increases. You can go up to when you use a massive transfusion protocol, meaning massive bleed, it can go up to 20 pints, 30 pints. So, you know, it is amazing to understand. We would not have realized how many pints of blood is actually required. But on a basic daily in even Klang Valley, as of now, I would say up to 2019, we require between 450 to 550 blood bags on a daily basis. Yeah. These is being estimated based on those of them who are transfusion dependent. I'm not even talking about this unplanned blood usage. But now after the pandemic, we noticed that our requirement and the request from the hospitals has increased up to 700, up to 800. In fact, this week on Monday, we managed to release about 1,100 units in a day. So, you know, the requirement keeps increasing because we realize that the need is there. Now, that is blood procurement. And then how do we go about collecting blood, managing donors? And then what do we do? How do we make sure that whatever blood is being collected is safe? So we do have to go through the screening. That's where our transfusion microbiology sets in. So we do very thorough screening, including NAT, meaning the nuclear exit test as well is done. And of course, we are doing it only for the four major ones, which is considered endemic around our area, which is HIV, hepatitis B, hepatitis C, and syphilis. So we do this to make sure that we try to secure a capture, even if a tainted blood, as early as within the first 4 to 5 days of it being exposed. All right. So that is to make sure that we maintain the safety. Then these products simultaneously, once it's being collected, we have triple bag, which is 450 mils, double bag, which is 350 mils. So people may ask, why? What difference does it make? Well, these amounts are actually calculated and they are only derived from donors based on their body weight and body mass index. So a lot of research has been done. WHO has approved it. So it's worldwide practice in such a way. Now, once these blood bags are being collected, they will be put through production, as in component processing. They will be put through into inventory. They will be made sure that all this is being done as well. So that is another part of, you know, trying to look in transfusion service per se. Now, subsequent to that, we do have areas where we call rare blood group donors. All we know when we talk about blood is blood group A, B, O, or AB, right? Otherwise, rhesus negative or rhesus positive. But has anybody, apart from this transfusion field, anybody have ever thought that we do have 300, more than 300 over 100 antigens, which can actually change our appearance of blood? These are the people who we call rare blood group donors. So we do have a lot in our country as well. You know, so how do we identify this? Because during cross-matching, before we actually release blood back to one particular patient, right, we will do a cross-matching from the blood donors, segments, because the blood bags, once they are processed, they will also have segments where we can actually use these segments and we will do a cross match for the patient. If the cross match is compatible, then we will release it. If it's not, then we will try to identify what happened or why. So these are the situations where we usually pick up why some donors will not be able to be compatible with certain ones. And we pick up all these rare antigens, and we have to make sure that we search donors. So again, we go in searching. So this component involves immunohematological section, which is also part of the clinical transfusion division as well. All right. So far, I've already told you 6 different components. Now, of course, quality management and quality system is prime for everything. Then we look into the hemovigilance as well. So people may ask, what's so great about, you know, transfusion, and what are you doing with hemovigilance? Why? Well, donors also possibly may develop adverse donors reaction. Transfused patients who have been transfused, also there are possibilities of them developing transfusion reaction. Although transfusion process, blood receiving process, it's absolutely safe, but these possibilities of adverse reactions are there. So how do we go about managing? So when you talk about adverse donors reaction, meaning a donor is having reaction right after donating, we are looking at healthy donors, because if you look at the donation criteria, we have got a long list of criteria where a donor should fit in first. That's why I always tell my donors, it is actually a privilege for you to become a blood donor, but it is my right as a transfusion medicine specialist to inform you whether you are eligible or not. Because when you donate, of course, we will be worried about your welfare. We want to take care of your welfare, and also we want to take care of the patient's welfare. So, you know, many people don't realize that transfusion medicine specialists, some may have the thought that, oh, they usually deal with the lab. We don't stop there. Some may think, oh, they mess around a little bit here and there with the clinics. No, we don't. We basically are the main bridge between the clinicians and the lab technicians. So we need to know both equally thoroughly so that we will be able to give you proper assistance and proper information as well. Now, we don't stop at this. Our last bit, which we have embarked in the last 5 years, is histocompatibility and immunology with National stem cell transplants as well. So we are the coordinating center, and we are now actively also involved in HLA typing for organ transplant as well. So I can go on with my list, Ane. So if you say, what is transfusion? I can't stop, because it encounters a lot of things, which I think many people don't get to see it. And I don't say it's wrong, because you probably didn't have the opportunity to see that side of transfusion. So, well, this is what we do.
That's true. If it wasn't for my attachment in the National Blood Center, I wouldn't have known things of hemovigilance and the various blood groupings and how we identify these blood groupings. It, to me, till today, I'm still amazed by when we do the blood grouping and then we do the antibody testing. And it's just amazing sometimes, you know, we find that, you know, the small D, small E,
yes,
kind of blood groups. Yes. I'm just amazed at that. Okay.
And now we are being very much challenged when we have this chemo patients who are under chemotherapy, and mm-hmm. then they are being given certain drugs, and these drugs actually coats the red cell. So when we actually do a cross matching, we always get it non-compatible. And we have to, you know, we have to actually treat the red cells. You know, the process goes deeper and deeper. So all these are very technical, and it requires a lot of knowledge. In fact, I myself, I won't say I'm very good with immunohematology. I still refer back to my seniors, because they are very tricky. They are very, very tricky, but they are very interesting and intriguing. So they keep our mind challenged all times.
I enjoy when, you know, things keep you on your toes, but they also give you a little bit of stress sometimes. Aka, could you describe your organization structure?
Okay. Mine is considered as an organization by itself. All right. Mm-hmm. We are directly under the arm of Ministry of Health. And we, of course, we coordinate and we do collaboration with all forms of NGOs, even government and non-governmental centers, but we are directly parked under the Ministry of Health, as in like we are under government basically. Now with that, what we do is we follow all the policies and requirements which is made and held by Ministry of Health per se. And if we require any international association, then we have this society which is called Malaysian Blood Transfusion Society. We work through this Malaysian Blood Transfusion Society to get ourselves engaged with the international waters as well. And so far, what we have done is we are practicing a bloodless, borderless blood, where we have started using all forms of modalities for any time where it's required to make sure that blood which is collected regardless anywhere within the borders, within Malaysia, it should be able to travel up to, you know, the east, west, north, up, south, everywhere. And our next aim in next 5 years is probably also to be able to extend to the neighboring countries. So these are big dreams which we have at the moment.
Okay. In the National Blood Center, could you describe what are the levels of staff that you have that make up the National Blood Center?
All right. We have all levels of staff, starting from, of course, the national director is a hematopathologist, and she's one of our senior consultants. Then we have two other consultants as well. They are also hematopathologists. Then we have a transfusion medicine specialist, who's a pioneer, who's the deputy director too as well. And we have large number of medical officers, about almost 70 of them. Okay, and then we do have staff nurses, we do have matron, we do have medical assistants. This is for the blood collection side. And then when it comes to the lab, we do have lab technicians, the medical lab technologists, we do have scientific officers, we do have quality managers, and we also have on the other arm where you call the PTD officers, where they are these subject matter due to administrative and so forth to handle. And we do, of course, have accountants. So we basically cover at all fields as we are a standalone organization. So it makes up to a large number of group of people, including driver, including, you know, we have at all various levels of people working. So it's a standalone organization.
Okay. What are your challenges and what excites you most about transfusion medicine?
Personally?
Yes.
Okay. If you remember, Anis, before I joined medicine, before I became a doctor, I actually joined med school very, very late. That's why you all started calling me Akra, because I was the only older one in the batch. Right. So I've done a Bachelor of Fine Arts and I've done Bachelor of Clinical Psychology with Political Studies before I joined in. So my interest goes back to studying the pattern of donor behavior, the behavioral sciences of donors. Because to me, when it comes to, I'm not saying that the clinical part or the lab, when you talk about the immunohematological part, it's easier. No, they have got different challenges. But to me, what is very intriguing is donor behaviors, because these are very healthy donors, meaning healthy individuals. We need to understand what is their motivation factor, what is their hindering factors. So dealing with healthier people is always a challenge, because mentally they are very stable. So you have to know your facts, you have to know the decorum of how are we going to be able to convey the messages in the correct way. So at the moment, Malaysia, I should say we have to be very, very proud that we are one of the, out of 100 over countries throughout the world, we belong to one of the top 70 countries where we are practicing voluntarily non-remunerated blood donation 100%. So, you know, we're very, very proud, and it's a very honored situation where, you know, we're competing with, you know, the better off countries, so-called. And having said that, we also understand that at the moment right now, most of our donors are actually moving into the aging population, meaning the donors are moving into above 50. If you happen to know or remember, the criteria to become a blood donor is 17 to 18, you can start blood donation. with parental guidance. Now, from 18 onwards, you can actually become a blood donor by yourself up to the age of 17. Now, what happens is, subsequent to that, most of our donors have moved on their triage age above 50. So I need more youngsters to come in. Now, that is my biggest challenge. So that keeps me intriguing in the sense it keeps my adrenaline pumping as well. You know, I'm also moving into a different decade of age, and to understand the current generation interest, need, and so forth, that is very, very challenging. But it is nice to know a lot of new things to learn as well. You know, so how do we encapsulate our donors or meaning population? These are a few things which is absolutely no answers as of now. So we are still learning, we are still trying to, you know, investigate, do studies, and so forth.
Okay. Right? Yeah, that's nice. What advice would you impart on someone who would like to pursue a career in transfusion medicine, either as a clinician or lab-based?
See, transfusion, as I said, there's two parts. Mm-hmm. One, the clinical part, mm-hmm. you know, where we liaise with all the clinicians, we need to explain to them how do we go about producing or, you know, usage of blood and its components per se. The other part is handling donors per se. So it comes into the operational area. And the one more part is on the transplant and so forth. So those of them who are interested, they don't have to feel, oh, transfusion doesn't have clinical. No. We are now very much into transplant, doing HLA typing. So there's a different level of knowledge, different level. And these are all very, very technical and very, very subspecialized level. So it keeps you going into a scientist level, basically. So those of y'all are interested in transfusion, don't look at transfusion as just a blood bag. There's a lot more stories going behind it. In fact, the other area which I've missed out telling you is, whatever bloods we collect right now and we process them into components, especially the plasma components, we send it to CSL in Australia. Why do we send it there? We do fractionation, and those fractionation products are brought back as factors, clotting factors, factor 8, factor 9, as well as IVIGs and albumin. So we are trying to increase our consignment so that we can actually produce our own factor coverages, own IVIGs, and own albumin. So this is a different aspect of clinical directly. So understand where you're coming. Of course, it is going to be a jargon if anyone who looks into transfusion as, you know, oh, transfusion is a very small field. No, not at all, not at all. In fact, even in Malaysia, I think we are just beginning to embark ourselves saying that, look, we are doing a lot of things. There's a lot of things in transfusion where many, many people could actually participate and contribute, because we need all sorts of talents to come in. Lots of statistics is required, in the sense like you can do a lot of studies, a lot of research can be done. You know, I can just go on saying, because there's no stop to it. As I said, the primary look at it is we are the bridge who connect the lab technicians as well as the clinicians in any possible way anybody can think.
And it looks like transfusion is just like the iceberg. What we see is just the tip. What goes on is so deep and at so many levels, involving, actually it's multidisciplinary too. And there's so much good that comes out of it. One, like they say, one blood bag saves how many lives? Five lives?
Three lives.
Three lives, okay. Okay, Akka. As we come to a close, is there anyone you'd like to acknowledge or thank that has been a positive influence in your journey thus far?
Definitely. As a medical personnel, I would say that I really owe it to two people. Madam Anima Korean, I'm sure you remember her.
Yes.
And the other person is Prof. Ulas Kamat. These are the mm-hmm. two people for my medical career. Now, for transfusion per se, I would say I owe it big time to Dr. Farah Iza, because she introduced to me the depth of transfusion. As I said, I went in without proper knowledge either. I had nothing, no knowledge about transfusion. But she introduced it to me in such a way that I am now in it, and I think I'll die for it. That's how it is, you know. Personally, I think I owe it big to my husband and my children and my late dad, including my brother, and without forgetting when I was in med school, my very, very important batch mates, batch 9 mates, who actually made it through together with me. They were pregnant with me. They helped me with my kids. You know, these people, I have a pool of people who actually helped me in my career, in my life, to where I am today. So thank you very much to all these people.
Thank you, Akka, for, that was really nice listening to you. I'm in awe listening to you, you know, talk so passionately about transfusion medicine. And I thank you for spending your time with me and, you know, sharing with us. And I hope this opens up more people to what actually goes on behind one blood bag. Okay. Thank you, Akka.
Thank you for this opportunity, Anis. It's been a pleasure being, you know, with you. It's been a long time. And yes, if anybody has any other questions regarding transfusion, as I said, it's you know, it's a vast thing. Feel free to contact me. No problem.
Okay, we will be linking your LinkedIn in the profile. So who knows, there might be some messages coming in. Okay. Thank you. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
To make a suggestion of someone that would make a great guest or topic you would like to hear more about, please visit us at labop.org. That's labopp.org.